you see for your family? What do you see for your church? What do you see for your church in regards to missions? You know, Missions Conference Week, it's certainly heavy on my mind, and I trust it's on yours as well. But thinking about missions, thinking about our church as a whole, thinking about your family, your own Christian walk, what do you have a vision? Does what you envision excite you? Does it make you anxious for it to take place? What, you don't have any particular expectations? Come what may? Aren't we told in the Bible to have a vision? To think about the future? Helen Keller said this, "What's worse than having no sight is having sight with no vision." It's been said you get what you ask for, so be careful what you ask for. But what if you're not asking for anything? Not hoping for anything? You'll get nothing. So again, what are you looking for? Do you have vision? Do you have desire? Do you have goals? We should dream. Dream big. Dream believing. God encourages me with the future of this church. I see a lot more young families. I hear a lot more babies in the nursery. I'm excited. You got to see it. You got to envision it. You got to pray for it. You got to work for it. You and I, each one of us, individuals, faithful to witness Christ to others. Encourage them about spiritual things. Invite them to the house of God. God will bless that belief that God is moved by faith, always has been. Envision people getting saved, baptism services one after another, chairs being filled. Envision yourself faithful in your ministry, excited and thriving in your ministry. Envision yourself active and bold in witnessing, handing out tracts and inviting people to the house of God. Can you see it? Can you believe it? Can you grab it? It's so close, so real. We're told in the Bible in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm not ready to die. I'm not talking about physical death. Churches can die. They have no vision. We need vision. I think Missions Conference Week is probably one of those weeks that God uses in a great way to excite our vision, fresh and anew. So again, you personally, what are you praying for when you get down on your knees? In light of your church, your own walk with Christ, your families. What does it mean to have vision? It means that some Christians are living a dull life. When it says in 29:18 of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. They're living a dull life. They're dying a slow death. They're in a rut. Please don't let that be you. Be excited about being a Christian, about being heaven-bound, about having the privilege and the opportunity to get others to know about Jesus and draw them to Christ, that they too might go. No cruise control in your Christian life. Many are in a rut. They don't care. And they don't care that they don't care. You know what a rut is? A grave with both ends kicked out. It's a rut. Slowly dying. I don't want to die. How about you? You living? You living in an excited Christian life? Where are you and your vision this pre-missions conference evening? Are you excited about the week to come? Let's go to Old Testament tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read a chapter of the Bible. We're going to read this story. Yes, we're familiar with this. I'm sure most all of us are. I have three very quick points to make afterwards, and we're done. We're going to read this story. We need this in our minds, in our memories. Yes, it's the story about David and Goliath. Quite a story. Verse 1 of 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines were gathered together, their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochah, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochah and Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain top, a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. So we certainly can see this picture. Big valley in between, but here's mountaintops. Here's one mountain army, and there's another. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. My inset in my Bible says that's 9 feet, 9 inches. I don't know how accurate that is. This much I do know. This is a big guy. Now, I know I could take him on a good day, in my younger day, not today. Verse 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And noting again, that's about 125 pounds. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, those are shin guards, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. It's about 15 pounds. The spear head. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Well, it's easy to say when you're almost 10 feet tall. 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Isn't that sad that an army would be afraid? Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the eldest, 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Oh, the embarrassment. And one army, Israel's army, is afraid. And probably just got more afraid with each passing day. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Were they really? They were in array. Not a whole lot of fighting going on. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. That's noted, obedience to his father. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. Okay, they're in array. Well, let's get with it, man. But they're too afraid. Verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. Yet it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And note that, the difference between verse 10 and verse 26, excuse me, regarding Israel's army. In 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel. There's no mention of God. He's just looking at an army of men that were afraid. But not David. David saw a little differently. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine in 26, that he should defy the armies of the living God. This is when just the army of Israel, it's the army of God. Huge difference. He had some spiritual sight, some spiritual vision, how he looked at things. It differed from others. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, sparked by his pride. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Good luck. Oh, no, it's go, and the Lord be with thee. Saul didn't have much hope in this young teenage stripling going against Goliath of Gath. Verse 38, And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, I have not tried them out, I have not worked with them. And David put them off him, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling, which was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the men that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with sticks, you see? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David saw spiritually. He saw that this giant had defied God, Almighty God, the God of Israel, when he defied the armies of God. He said, verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. This young teenage kid, speaking to this giant, whom all of these brave warriors of the army of Israel were afraid of. There's something different about David, his perspective. You know, was he on drugs? One would question. And I will give the carcass, a carcass of the host, and I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. Apparently, all the rest of the army of Israel forgot. The Philistine army certainly didn't know. Goliath didn't know that there was a God in heaven, the God of Israel. But David did. 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Can you picture this? He's got to be on drugs. Nobody's running to a giant with a slingshot. But that's how everyone saw it. And that's how we're seeing it and why we're chuckling. But that's not how David saw it. David had a different vision. He saw differently. And ultimately, that's why God blessed him. Don't you want God to bless you like that? To bless our church like that? I mean, you may look around and see a lot of empty seats on a Sunday night. What are you seeing? Are you looking by faith or by your visual, your physical eyesight? There's a big difference. And what does God operate on? What you see physically or what you and I see spiritually? What we envision. Verse 48. Oh, he hasted. Verse 49. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. That's slang, for he flung it. And smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell down upon his face to the earth. Can you imagine that sight? This 10-foot giant. Can you imagine everybody's eyeballs? You know, we took a picture at Christmas time. We had the whole family all together. I think it was only one missing out of the 46. And Mary Ellen's the one that had the camera. She had it set up with a little remote click. And so anyhow, she gets it all set and she runs over and she gets in her place. And so there's a whole big gang of people. And she's clicking, you know, a few times or a few pictures because you know that somebody's going to be blinking or this, that, whatever. And at one point, after several different clicks, our granddaughter's husband, Will, says about our granddaughter, Madison. Out of the clear blue, he says, Madison's pregnant. And the next picture is everybody's like this. It was great timing. And we got pictures before and after, you know. We had a different vision, different information. We reacted to it, you know. David's vision was different. And you can imagine that when this guy had fallen down, all those nervous, scared Israeli soldiers, they started to go like this. Things are different now. I'm seeing something different than I saw before. It was all based upon the faith of this vision of this kid. Notice the story continues. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Oh, so the Philistine soldiers are like this. And the Israeli soldiers are like this. What a change. Because of what they've seen, they didn't see before. Verse 52, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when David saw David go forth again, excuse me, and when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. Who is this young lad? See this youth. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. What a story. What a story. I told you I had three quick points regarding this. May God bless it and help us. First one is this. Vision is awareness. It's seeing more than others see. It's being aware of God in action. That God is here. David knew that he was defying the armies of God. This was God's battle. It's awareness. Verse 29, when he says, is there not a cause? David's brothers didn't see it. Saul's entire army didn't see it. But David did. And it made a huge difference. 45 and 46 again. Look at that. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I'm come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. He saw it. Today you're going down. There wasn't another soul that agreed with him that could see that. Saul the king could not see that. His brothers could not see that. The whole Philistine army could not. That's not the way it's going down, son. See you later. But he saw it. I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls, and so on. And later on we read that, verse 51, that David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword out, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head, just like he said he was going to. Now, who gave the victory? God gave the victory. It wasn't David in his perfection, in his sling shooting. We knew God had done it before, and that's helpful. You ever seen God do something before? Can we not increase our faith based upon what we have seen that would give us vision for what can be? I believe God would have us to do that. Is there not a cause at Grace Baptist Church? Are we not to live for Christ, for his purposes, trying to please him? Are there not souls to rescue from hell? Among our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends and family, around the globe, is there not a cause? And what do you see? Do we not care? Do we not care that we not care? Or like David, do we see differently because God has helped us through the Word of God to give us a vision fresh and anew, to believe God? It'll change how you and I live and act and what we do for the cause of Christ when you have a vision. Cause David to act. Vision is awareness. Be aware, every single person is either going to heaven or to hell around the globe. There's no other option. And the difference is Christ. And you and I know it. Vision is awareness. Number two, vision is believing. It's being aware that God is here and present and believing that he can and wants to do something among us. He does care. Jesus said, other sheep I have, because he cares. He says, them also I must bring. I care about, I died for all men's to be forgiven of their sins and to be saved. Vision is believing. David truly believed he could defeat Goliath. No one else believed it. David tried to convince King Saul. He told him the story about the bear and the lion, trying to get him on board. And what did he say lastly, Saul? He says, go and the Lord be with you. Never thought he'd see him again. But David believed. Do we need more proof to believe that miracles can and do happen still? Does God, is he still working in this world, in this life? You know, I'm very encouraged and thought I'd read one of the letters from one of our missionaries that'll be coming. Brother Mike Pepper, been in Sierra Leone, I believe, some 15 years. We'll get the right number of years when he comes. Just never think to ask him when I'm talking with him. This is his September prayer letter informing us. He's got entitled at the top, 642 in attendance on church dedication service in Waterloo. That's one church in Waterloo. Dear pastors and churches, I'm so happy to report that we have been able to complete the Waterloo church building based on the financial commitment of our supporting churches. We sent money. Pastor Kevin Brown, his wife, and one of their members came to minister to this church. Last Wednesday, he conducted a revival meeting as well as a marriage seminar on Thursday and Friday for our pastors and wives. Everything went so well during the week. On Sunday, we celebrated a dedication service. New church, Waterloo. Waterloo's a little ways from Freetown, the capital city. There were 133 children and 409 adults present for a total of 642. The entire church is so excited about what the Lord has done for them. Miraculous. Since 2011, when the church was started, they have been meeting under a tarpaulins held up by wooden poles. Now, you remember, may remember, we've shown you pictures before. We'd gone out to where the youth camp is to be at the time. It was active. And they had this huge tarpaulin and all kinds of sticks holding up this tarp. And it was under that all the youth would be for the youth conferences. They'd preach them to them, and they'd get saved. They had all kinds of games and activities, brought them down to the water, to the Atlantic Ocean shore, and did some other activities with them. It was an amazing thing to see. And anyhow, we've showed you pictures afterwards how they have now this huge built one wall, but a canopy that holds, I don't know, 1,000 to 2,000 kids. It was built by faith. And here they're building these church buildings as they can. I remember the first time that I went, I was asked, he was starting another church. And all day we would pass out flyers. Come see a movie, free movie. Well, let me tell you, that sparked some attention. And with sticks hanging a white sheet, and a projector was on the white sheet and showed the Jesus movie. The people just watched it. After a good dark, then we preached Jesus from the Bible, and a number got saved. We did that for several nights. Then Sunday was the big day, and we introduced a fellow that had been in his Bible Institute would be the new pastor. 2 years later, I went back. The tarp, all that stuff's gone. It's a building, and I got to preach in that same building. The people there were having service like you and I, singing songs in praise to God. And hearing a message, families, where there was nothing before. It was like a parking lot. You know, Brother Pepper had a vision. He sees things that many don't see. Now, what would we be encouraged to see what we don't see as God would have us see and grab hold of it? So now they're meeting at a building. I want to thank all of you who have had a part in providing this building for this good church. The second floor has classrooms for their Sunday school and a new Christian elementary school, which started today. Another school, Last month, our churches averages 839 children, adults, with 157 being saved. The rains were heavy in the month of August, which impacted our attendance. Diane and I are so thankful for all of you who have partnered with us in reaching the people of Sierra Leone for Christ. And he has a number of pictures there. Just amazing. You know, before he went, these churches did not exist. There's 20 churches now. He had a vision. He was aware of the need, and he believed God for it, and God doing great, wonderful things. Vision is awareness, vision is believing, and vision is action. David acted on his belief. He believed God enough to act. The Bible tells us that he believed and spoke like he believed, and it was going to happen. And then we see him in other verses saying that he went. He ran towards this guy because of what he saw. While David's brothers and Saul's army would not act because they didn't believe, because they had no vision, once David had dropped the giant, now they could see. Now they had a vision. They could now envision victory and, in fact, believe that they could win. And then verse 52 says that they acted. Our actions, our demonstration of faith, our envisioning God working God's plans and purposes among us, even locally, let alone abroad, believing God's hand upon every effort that he makes towards it, could very well encourage others. Just like David encouraged an entire army and move them to action where there was no action before. So, vision is awareness. Vision is believing. God's in the picture. I'm going to believe it. I can't do this, God. I can't. We can't. But we believe you can. And we're going to believe you for it. I believe God's laid on my heart to add 4 missionaries this year. We support 46 now and bring it to 50 this year. I see that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have 50 by the end of the year. And I expect God to bless in our church as well. It's been said each bird finds what it's looking for, both the vulture and the hummingbird. Of course, the vulture is looking for a dead carcass. The hummingbird's looking for sweet nectar. What are you looking for? Again, some personal questions to you. Take it personally. Come up with an answer in your mind. What do you see in the future? Your family? Your church? Missions out of this church? Brethren, I can tell you that I see it. I see a robust, excited church reaching out to the people of the world. I see more missionaries being supported. As I said, we're going to add 4. Consider Sierra Leone's growth. How fantastic and wonderful that it is. Because a guy had vision. And God is blessed. God is pleased when he sees vision and faith among his people. Not a setback in fear. Does what you envision excite you? Does it make you anxious for it to take place? Are you on board for worldwide missions? Let's get excited for the missions conference. You pray tomorrow. You pray Tuesday. You pray Wednesday. You pray God gives you a vision, gives our church a vision. For here and abroad. And to God be the glory. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We come to another time of invitation. Where once again, we are invited to talk with God. Piano will be playing softly. Based upon what we've heard, and each individual evaluating what God said to them. What did God say to you tonight? Did he speak to your heart? Were you dull of hearing? Or was the hearing of your heart wide open and fertile? Has God given you belief? Has he given you a vision that you can grab hold of and believe? Can you see it with excitement? Can we all believe God? God, help me, the disciple said, in my unbelief, right? Yes. Help me to believe. Increase my faith, God, that I not be like the rest of the army of Israel, but I might be more like David, knowing there is a God in heaven and there is a God that is working among us and wants to do great, wonderful things. if we would believe. Father in heaven, bless this time of invitation now to your glory. Help us, Father, make decisions. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Altar's open. If you'd like to come down, drop to your knees and pray. Pray where you're at. But these next several minutes, they're important. You talk with the God of creation.